And we see somebody we don't know, we say, "Ah, yeah, some."
Who's that?
Who's that? Ah, yeah, some.
A clip of Bobby and Gordon Hogg, the last two speakers of the Cromarty Fisher Folk dialect. And in a moment, we'll find out why this audio highlights the importance of looking after our audiovisual heritage, both in Scotland and in the UK as a whole, with the Save Our Sounds initiative at the British Library and in Scotland, Scotland Sounds. RNIB Talking Books have a recording history that stretches back over 80 years and includes a number of different formats. Books that were recorded onto wax disc were then distributed on Brittle Shellac and then later vinyl. The service then moved to both recording and delivery on tape of different sizes. Here's Ian Turner, a former manager of the RNIB Talking Book Studios.
In those days, we used to record on one-inch tape, directly onto one-inch tape, and that one-inch tape was sent to the production unit in Alberton, where they made the cassettes. But then we moved to just up the road from Great Portland Street, original studios, and we moved about 50 yards up the road to new studios, and we recorded on quarter-inch tape. Now, the difference it made meant that for the first time ever, we were able to have a copy, or a master, rather, a master copy of every single book we did. Prior to that, the one-inch tape was the only recording we had of any book, and we were very lucky not to lose any of our recordings.
At the end of the 1990s, digital recording was brought in, and at the same time, the entire RNIB Talking Book library, on a number of formats, was re-archived.
We had something like 12,000 titles on our shelves. We couldn't possibly lose those. That was a huge archive. And so we worked on developing a process of transferring all of those books across to the digital system and then transferring them again into the DAISY structure. A huge task. And it also allowed us to look at what books we had, see if there was any gaps in the system, see if any books actually needed re-recording, see if any recordings were so poor that we had to re-record them again. I remember one, I won't tell you his name, but we had one gentleman who if he didn't like the way he was recording, this was before my time, I hasten to add, if he didn't like what he was recording, he used to change it to suit his own needs. Or if he didn't like one particular sentence, he used to cut that out as well. And those books we've reread. And I've got a much better version now.
RNIB are well aware of the value in archive audio, an awareness shared by UNESCO, as recently it was World Day for Audiovisual Heritage. The 2016 theme was "It's Your Story, Don't Lose It," and in a statement they said, "Audiovisual documents such as films, radio and television programmes are our common heritage and contain the primary records of the 20th and 21st centuries. They help to maintain the cultural identity of a people, but countless documentary treasures have disappeared since the invention of image and sound technologies that permit the peoples of the world to better share their experiences, creativity and knowledge." And they add that all the world's audiovisual heritage is endangered. There are two main initiatives in the UK, Save Our Sounds at the British Library, and in Scotland, Scotland Sounds. I spoke to the sound curator of the National Library of Scotland, Alistair Bell, and asked how important this day was.
It's great that UNESCO have recognised that audiovisual heritage is so important. I mean, it's a type of heritage that is very much at risk. There's all sorts of different types of recordings, sound recordings specifically, that we work with. So they can be wax cylinders, they can be discs, so shellac discs, 78 recordings, up to vinyl disc, magnetic tape, open reels, cassettes, and right up to digital recordings. And the thing is that these types of recordings are all very much at risk from, well, degradation is one thing, but it's really more about the equipment and the skills and the knowledge to play these different types of recordings from all over the decades is actually quite scarce. And so having a day that recognises the risk to these audiovisual collections, these sound collections, but also thinking about the culture that comes from sound recordings and the fact that these recordings are recording parts of history that aren't recorded in other ways, either written down or in image. So I think the audiovisual heritage is very much at risk, but also paints a very different type of picture over the 19th and 20th century that's well worth preserving.
For the lift, I want to start off with a story about the lift. In the 1950s, of course, there's no health and safety in those days, you know, and the lift only had one gate. And you could just go and open it, slide it open and get on the lift. And the parcel boy in the basement, he heard the lift go one day. And he went up, there's nobody on the ground floor, nobody on the first floor, nobody in the second, nobody in the third. And one of the assistants looked up from the fourth floor, on the third floor, there's a lady standing on top of the lift holding onto the cable. Of course, she disappeared by that time up to the fourth floor, so she ran up to the fourth floor. She said, you've got a lady standing on top of the lift. I said, don't be ridiculous. So they wound this lift down, and nothing like that had ever happened before, so they weren't sure what to say. But she said it for them. She was immaculately dressed in a fur coat and white gloves all covered with grease off the cable. She says, you keep your lifts in a filthy condition. I'm never coming back to the shop again. And walked off.
My role is very unique, I suppose, because I have an overview over the collections held at the National Library. So I work at the National Library of Scotland and look at the different sound collections that we hold here. And we have quite a range, so it's partly music, partly oral history, and partly other types of collections that have come in. But I also work as part of the Scotland Sounds Network, which is a kind of collaborative network that we've set up to create a kind of distributed and shared responsibility for improving the care and access to the sound collections. So we've got various different types of sound collections all over Scotland, oral history collections, interviews, poetry, music, music and song, environmental recordings, sound art as well. So there's a real breadth of different types of collections all over Scotland. And what my role as a sound curator is really to do is to try and help look after these collections better and make people feel better equipped who are looking after these collections with the skills and the knowledge that they might need to look after these types of specialist recordings, but also to try and interpret those and provide access for those in the public sphere so that they're much more accessible to as many people as possible.
This was in the days when the coal bunker was in front of the window in the tenement, you know, and I'm one hangers, this is curtains. One hangers, so Margaret says, what size? Edding again, do you know what size? And Margaret says, well, I won't know. She says, she says, I'm no tail now, I'm waiting the scheme to find out. She says, let me see, she says. The coal bunker's 4 feet high. My man's 6 feet high. And when he stands on the box, the curtain rail's 12 feet above his head, 12 feet. And that's how she measured her curtain. That's how she measured her curtain.
It's probably quite accurate.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's wonderful.
Thanks to the University of Dundee Archives. Ian Wilson and his daughter Diane talking to interviewer Rona Miller in June 2015, reminiscing about his store G.L. Wilson or The Corner. So you're basically saying to people who may have a recording like this on quarter-inch tape or on shellac or something like that, is as quickly as you possibly can, digitise that.
Absolutely. I mean, well, from an international recognition for archives, museums, libraries and other types of institutions that are used to caring for these types of collections, we have about a 15-year plan, really, to try and digitise as much as we can. And that's because these things are very much at risk. It might be that people have collections themselves, which they want to digitise and provide access to. But it might also be that people are thinking about the collection and the legacy and the long-term preservation of those items that they've recorded over the years and thinking about who they want to look after that material. And it might be local museums, libraries and archives that they turn to do so.
For an empress she might pass, and the creel she trudges daily does, my bonny fisher lass.
What we've done is found some archival sound recordings from the School of Scottish Studies archive about fishing and fishing communities. And this just shows you kind of some of the value of audio archives and how they can be used to stir memories and also be used for enjoyment.
If a storm arises, I'm down upon the pier and stand and watch sincerely for his boat to appear.
The Bonny Fisher Lass song, recorded in Shetland in 1971 by Grace Anderson.
I'd wander broken hearted, said the bonny fisher lass.
Has there been a case where a sound has been found or archived that's maybe quite trivial or appears to be quite trivial, but it suddenly became very important?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think so. There's a good example might be Ambala, for instance. Ambala is a website which is a kind of portal to the Highland life, so the museum, libraries and archives collections in the Highlands. And they have a recording of 2007 of two elderly gentlemen, brothers, just recorded in conversation. And it turns out that they were two of the last users of the Cromarty Fisher dialect. And they were happily just talking away to each other in this dialect. Now, since then, both gentlemen have passed away. And so now we have a recording of the Cromarty dialect in full flow. So there's still a few people maybe in the Black Isle and Cromarty that are able to say the occasional word. But here was the last two gentlemen that were able to do that in full flow. And so at the time of the recording, they probably felt it would be that important to record them. But, you know, since they've passed away, it's much more meaningful that we have this kind of final last record to understand what that dialect was like.
In Cromarty, there were at least two anyway.
Two. Because it was
East of Toon and West of Toon, right?
Aye.
But over the years, you must remember this, since I was a boy, the whole language in Cromarty has changed completely. Once upon a time, you open your mouth and you're from Cromarty. Nobody says that to you now. No.
Thanks once again to Ambala. Now, Alistair, tell us about the work you're doing with the British Library.
So there's a big campaign at the moment that the British Library are running, which is called Save Our Sounds. And this is really based on what I was talking about with the threat to these types of recordings, where we know that we've only got 15 years to transfer these into a digital format. You know, the future of sound recordings is digital. We're not going to be continuing to be able to bring out open reel tapes and 78 discs in future. Certainly wax cylinders are not the most accessible formats. So the future is digital. So the British Library are leading this project that's going to be for all around the UK to try and preserve the most at-risk materials in the UK, these sound recordings, and open them up and provide access to them online. So there's a big project that we're involved in that's on its way in this campaign to really save these collections at risk. So the British Library, if you check the website www.bal.uk and then look at projects and Save Our Sounds, you'll be able to find out more about the British Library project. And if you want to know more about the Scotland Sounds Network, we are available on Twitter at Scotland Sounds. And feel free to tweet us and ask us any questions about how you can get involved in our network or find out more about what collections are available to you.
So if you have any audio, something you've had transcribed, or maybe an old talking newspaper on cassette, hang on to it, because it may become a heritage recording. You can browse and discover more fabulous archive recordings online at sounds.bl.uk. Google Save Our Sounds at the British Library. Head to ambala.org.uk, which is spelt A-M-B-A-I-L-E. You can head to tobarandokus.co.uk, which is spelt tobarandukalchais.co.uk. And of course, for more information on the RNIB Talking Books Library, for brand new and for some heritage audiobook recordings, head to rnib.org.uk/books.